Welcome. If you're a visitor, you're required to visit. That's in the visitor's handbook. And if you're not a visitor, you're required to visit with the visitors. That's in your handbook, the Bible. And we want to thank all of you for being here this morning. Remember the military ministry. You'll notice the board in back is beginning to evolve. We'll have all the veterans we're reaching out to. We'll have their pictures up there with the dresses, maybe even some pre-printed out or pre-written envelopes. Make it real easy to keep track of them. And probably in the near future, too, we're working on trying to have a youth mission down to Walter Reed. That'll be developing. But if you see a vet, thank a vet. And also, this Saturday, we have the progressive meal for the college group, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a lot of pictures. I'm sure Dave will take some. And we'll start out a meal at Smith's with hors d'oeuvres, main course at Dowler's, and dessert at the Trares. So we hope you could be part of that if you're a college student. And also, those of you who are helping, thank you in advance. Now, we're in the process of having a series on the topic of grief. Grief of losing someone that you love. And in the first lesson, we covered five necessary things to understand before you even are encountered with grief. Then we covered the five levels of grief in the second lesson. Last week, we covered a bit more on it, but this week, the lesson is titled, Grief. Grieving, how can I really help? How can I really help? Paul comments in Philippians 4, verse 3, that a couple of sisters in Christ, Euodia and Syntyche, who share my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together, those two, they weren't getting along, but those two were people who shared in that common struggle of having that gospel spread throughout the world. They actually helped alleviate some of the pressure of spreading the gospel for Paul. We're also told in Galatians 6:2 to bear one another's burden, and burdens plural. Yet again, we're told in Romans 15:1, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. There's a common overall theme that we in the Christian community are to go to our brother and sister who have a weight of a burden upon them and help them carry that, to pick up that yoke and help them carry. Of course, Jesus is the greatest example of that. Jesus carries away our burden of sin. But there is a common theme that we're to reach out to those in the church and even also to those who are not in the church family. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to communicate that point, as I am trying to connect that there is really no greater common struggle that we will have in this life than when we face the death of somebody that we love. To try and put you in the proper mindset, I want you to think about somebody who's very, very important to you. They might be sitting next to you in the pew. They might be at home right now. Somebody you really, really love. And imagine the next 5 minutes, they die. Yeah, it got quiet, didn't it? You see, a lot of us maybe haven't faced that issue up close, but we know somebody who has. And your day is coming. You can't accept life if you don't accept the fact of death. And oftentimes, there's so many people who want to help, but they don't know what to do. Because it's sort of an alien concept, because it doesn't happen every day. But it will happen. So many times as a minister, and as someone who was actually in the death care industry, I heard the question, how can I help? What can I do? Jesus laid a good blueprint for us. And we're going to study this through John chapter 11. Open your Bibles up to that. How can I really help? Let's see if Jesus can help us help others in this time of need. And the next week we'll be covering how I can help myself for when it happens to me. And then the final lesson we'll have in the series of six lessons will be, it's about memorialization. You're going to want to make sure you're here for that lesson. How can I help somebody in their loss? First of all, Jesus personally focused on the glory of God. Look at chapter 11 of John, verses 1 through 4. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Jesus could see the big picture. That when it came to the fatal illness of Lazarus, it wasn't about him. It wasn't about Lazarus. It wasn't about Mary and Martha. It wasn't even about you. It wasn't about anybody on earth. It was about the glory of God. And with that glory of God, the Son of God would then also be glorified. Jesus saw the big picture. And if we're ever going to be a comfort to somebody who just lost someone so dear to them, and that their heart is just ripped open inside, we had better make sure whatever we do, we start out first by saying, I am going to glorify God in this process. God must be first. Our mission in trying to help them in their grieving process, it isn't, now it may seem like it's about them. And it hurts for them. And it hurts for you. And it hurts for a bunch of people. But all that is put on the backdrop of it's about God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, including comforting a loved one, do all for the glory of God. 1 Peter 4:11, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory forever and ever. Amen. Can you amen that? That's how Paul, amen, it's about him, not us. It's about God, not us. From him, to him, and through him are all things. To him be glory forever, not us. Our whole existence is there. That's why I love Paul. We got in a conversation, a Bible study yesterday about Paul. And Paul, the apostle, he would have these flashbacks to when he was killing Christians, and he would go down to these low points, and then he'd put that lowest point on the backdrop of the glory of God, and he'd be so excited at the very depths of where he caused the funerals of Christians. He had to put on the backdrop of God or it would consume him. He said, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, 1 Timothy 1, that in me first Christ Jesus, he would say, might be glorified through Christ Jesus. He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He killed Christians, but I received mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord is exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief. And he ends in a doxology. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. See, he put it on the backdrop of God. His heart is hurting. Imagine this. Not only have you lost a loved one, but have you killed Christians? You caused funerals. And now you are a Christian. Can you imagine the hurt you would be carrying? And yet Paul, when he'd go slide down into there just for a moment, reflecting on how bad he was, only at that point can you place it on the backdrop of the glory of God. We have to do the same. How can I really help in a loss? It's so important when our emotions are crippled and in disarray from a death. It's easy to get off track. Events in our lives can draw us further and further from God. And that's not the purpose. These are opportunities when we hurt in that way to draw ever so close to Him. When assisting somebody in their loss, we should be able to say, this journey that I will undertake is not about me, it's not about them, it's not about anyone else, it's about God. And in the end, somebody's going to be closer to God in this. We prioritize in this way, all the other plans will begin to fall in place. Step number one of sharing the burden of grief. Helping to lift that burden as you put God first. It's about His glory. No one else. The other thing Jesus did is He personally went to the family. Look at verses 13 through 16 of your Bibles of John chapter 11. Now Jesus had spoken of His death, but they thought He was speaking of literal sleep, about Lazarus. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Removed all doubt. See, he can't be graveyard alive. He can't be alive if he's not graveyard dead. He can't be resurrected. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Therefore, Thomas, who is also called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may also die with him. So when Jesus came, we'll stop there. So when Jesus came, Jesus took the time to go to this family in their loss. I like what Thomas said though, let us go that we may die with him. If there's ever a statement that says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to help them in their burden. I will go and die with them. To him, the him is Christ. For he was going to partake in their painful sufferings. We must also take the time to be with those who are hurting. When somebody's suffering, one of the greatest things you can do is just go and be with them. When they're hurt, they lost a loved one, you may not know what to do. It may unfold before you, but you have to go to them. It begins with the initial knowledge that someone has suffered the loss. You know, being there provides an ear to listen. Your being there provides eyes to weep. You being there provided a shoulder to cry on, a mind to remember, arms to embrace, a heart to break, a hand to hold, a mouth to encourage, a head to bow, and a soul to mourn. All those being theres cannot occur unless if the being is you and the there is them. That's the power of being there. All of them cannot be comforted if you are not a being who is there. Things will unfold for you, but we have to be there. It begins at the moment of death. And we move into action. Then at the funeral, when death is first realized, it might be in the hospital, it might be in the home, it might be somewhere. It will be somewhere, and you must be there. It also is with the viewing at the funeral when the family is saying their final goodbyes to an earthly vessel. It's in the days and the weeks and the months after the funeral. You know what? It's for the rest of your life. Those losses don't go away. They hurt, and they hurt a little less as time goes by, but there's like waves that go up and down. There are times where it's going to be unbearable. And you must always remember, you must be there for them. Step number two of sharing the burden of grief, personally go and be with them. Point three, Jesus personally wept with the family and friends. He personally wept with them. Look at verses 33 through 35. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And the two most powerful words, I think, ever assembled together in the Bible, Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how much he loved him? Jesus wept." We might argue concerning this topic, there is no other more powerful verse. Jesus wept. The thought of having the creator of the universe moved in such a way that he felt hurt of someone who just lost someone who died. Pain of losing a friend. That's humbling, my friends. We're not dealing with a Savior that cannot feel for us. Hebrews 2:18, he was tempted in every way as we are. He's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. 4 verse 15 of the same book. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. God in the flesh, feeling pain in his heart for a friend, for the family of this friend. The Jews said, "See how he loved him." Are you following? Are you following his advice? These Jews who said, "See how he loved him." Do you see that? I mean, do you picture Jesus crying, weeping? And then you could really feel how much he loved Lazarus. If we're ever going to be effective in lifting pain of losing a loved one from the heart of a friend or a family member, we have to be willing to go and shed tears with them. We'll have an invitation song today. Darren, we had a different one picked, but we'll pick a different one now, Darren. Darren said it's okay. I want to read you a couple of the lines of that song. "There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one." The chorus, it says, "Jesus knows all about our struggles." Isn't that true? "He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one." I'd like to thank the person who penned those words together might have thought about Jesus weeping. Because it was one of the most humbling times that we have on record of Scripture, where we have a friend and lowliness coming together so well. Step number three. You want to help? How can I help? We want to help share the burden of grief. Personally, be willing to weep with them. Watch what happens. Souls of people that I know in the past who've lost loved ones, people who were almost strangers to other individuals. If you think back, you might have somebody in your friendship circle that became one of your best friends. And there was a death. I personally know that I, over my time of preaching, some of the closest friendships I've ever had were when there was a body of a loved one and grieving. Go be with them. Personally weep with them. And fourth thing, Jesus personally offered a message of hope. He personally offered a message of hope. Look at 23 through 27. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? He asked Martha that. I'm asking you that this morning. Do you believe this? Do you believe that resurrection and life is in Christ Jesus? Do you believe this? It's okay. You can amen it. You believe it? You better hang on to that hope. She said, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." What a marvelous statement from a marvelous woman in Scripture. That's our message of hope. Jesus personally offered a message of hope that came to the aid of Martha and the others who were grieving. Your brother will rise again. She didn't know it would be so quickly. That's the part. But she had her trust in him. She yet had to connect to Jesus to that resurrection, but Jesus would do that for her. He was the message of hope. He was light for a dark day, 2 Peter 1:19. By reminding her that there was something greater to come concerning her dead brother. What is ultimately the message of hope? Martha figured it out. You're the Christ. See, that's what happens. When we offer a message of hope to somebody, when a heart is broken and reaching for anything, there's never a better time to give the greatest message in the world, that Jesus is the Christ. That passage that Chris Lampson had read from 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 about that great and marvelous day when there will be a resurrection. Paul closed that passage, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." He said, "You have hope. Don't be like those who are unaware who don't have hope. You have hope." Step four in sharing the burden of grief, personally offer a message of hope. Be willing to do that. But what if they weren't a Christian? It's still a message of hope. You could constantly remind them that God always works out things in the end. God is that message of hope. You're not there to lead someone to Christ that moment. You're there to comfort. And I can tell you, I have seen the most vile people having showed up at the cemetery when I was in that business. Motorcycle gangs. That high drug users. And in my heart, you know, when a guy was running from the police on a motorcycle when he dies, that's not a good way to end your life. But I still told them about how much Jesus loved his soul. I told them how much Jesus loves their soul. If you go to congregation in Council Bluffs, you'll see a row of motorcycle guys. Leo Holt is one of them. He found the message of Christ. He brought a whole bunch of his buddies. I remember one time I spoke there and I saw about two pews back, there was a guy looked like he just rode in on a motorcycle sitting next to a man with an $800 business suit. Only Christ can do that. You know, a lot of times I like to give you stories to really drive the point home, and sometimes I have to go look them up. Sometimes they find us. Everything I'm about to share with you, I talked to the people involved, and they were more than willing to let me share this with you. Paul the Apostle, when writing to the Corinthian Christians, he said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2, now he's writing a letter, and he says to them, You Corinthian Christians, you are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by all men. It's a pretty powerful statement. You know, a lot of the ways that we communicate the message of Christ is by how we act. This week, you know, if you're not aware of it, Karen and Harold DePofi were downsizing their home. They're moving to a different location. And they lost their son a year and a half ago, Chris. Most of you were here for that. And you did a marvelous job helping them carry that burden. But I remember when Karen told me 3 weeks ago that they were going to do that. My heart really grieved inside because I know that that meant parting with some things that had to do with Chris. Ouch. And I wasn't for sure how quick it was coming. You know, those DePofis move pretty fast for something like this. But just the thought of Karen having to be there to sell to a stranger the bed set, the dresser that Chris helped pick out. That was such a personal thing. That was tough. And I'm going to say that it came together so beautifully. There were many women in the congregation who came to be with Karen. There was even a couple guys, even Jake Dowler was there. And he had to move furniture and to get everything ready for the sale. It was just Thursday. And in the same way that you would pick up a heavy piece of furniture and move it to another room, the burden of this moment of grief for her, Karen, was tremendous. And one of the sisters was with her when they sold the bed and the dressers of Christopher. That was tough. All they did, Karen and this sister in Christ, wept together. If our lives are letters, I looked through a lot of different Bible verses this week. A bunch of them. Thousands of them I looked over. And you know what? The very best verses I read this week were those. The ones that were written on the hearts of people. And to that, I could say, it was a job well done. And if Jesus could have physically been there, I know he would be there and do the exact same. You did well. And now my heart breaks for people who don't have a church family. I mean, what do? I don't know how you do it. You might have a couple close relatives with you, but I mean, what unfolded this week? What would you do if you didn't have a church family there to weep with you, to help you carry those burdens? I don't know how you could resist not wanting to have a family like that. And so I leave this invitation for you this morning. If you're not a Christian, I'm gonna limit this invitation down to some specific things. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You know, the whole covenant of Christianity is based in death. The whole covenant starts with Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. It deals with other people's death, burial, and future resurrection, John 5:28 and 29. And it will end in your death, burial, and resurrection. And if you're not with God, if you don't enter the covenant of death, burial, resurrection with Jesus Christ, beginning with a repentant heart, going into the waters, coming out. That's why it looks like a death, burial, resurrection. It's so that you'll know you're in covenant with Him. And you're basing it only on that. Not on a bunch of other things, but on the fact there was a funeral for a Savior, and it turned out awesome. He was resurrected. If you haven't entered that covenant, you need to. And understand this, that not only this church family, but every church family that's in that covenant should be on board to help you in your hour of need. And there's also second part of this invitation. There are people here that come forward every single week during this series because they've heard. I know there are more of you that carry within your heart a burden of hurt. Maybe you saw something this week that reminded you of somebody that you cared about and you hurt. Maybe it's fresh in your soul and you really hurt. Will you just come forward and let these experts at carrying burdens help you? Everyone here will be more than willing to help you. We'll start out by encouraging words, hugs, calls, help to carry those burdens. It was confirmed again to me this week. I don't think I've ever seen a better church family to help like this. If you're hurting in that way, this invitation's for you. If you want a church family and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're not in covenant with Jesus Christ, we offer this invitation for you. Think about this while we sing the beloved words of that there is not a friend like the lonely Jesus.